Tracy Kutchker, and this is Artscape. In this show, we cover up-and-coming events in the art sector of Salmon Arm. Today, my guest is Warren Welter. He is a local designer and has had a great visual impact in Salmon Arm. Welcome, Warren.
Well, thank you, Tracy. It's great to be here.
Today, we're going to talk a little bit about public art, and I'm very excited about that because that's a genre of art that's very close to my heart. I believe very strongly in community art, so this is quite exciting. And you've had a number of projects in town that have had big visual impact. Tell us about some of the early work you've done here.
Well, fortunately, I brought some skill sets when I moved up here from California. I had a 30-year design business there, and when I arrived here, it took a few years or so to people to warm up and accept me into this community and recognize some of the skill sets I had in the visual arena. The first project that I worked on was for the Salmar Community Association. The board of directors approached me and said, could I come up with a solution for the rear of the Quonset Hut, which I call it, which is the back of the Salmar facing the Ross Street parking lot. And it didn't have a really appealing look to it from their board eyes. And what had happened was we were going to be celebrating the centennial, 2005 centennial here in Salmon Arm. So they asked me to come up with a solution. And I made a few presentations and failed a few of them. And then finally, they all tipped their hats to the final one, and we went ahead and painted it. And it's a combination of a hard graphic with a actual film reel sculpture that attaches to it. And it's one that I always try to bring into the arena where I take 2D and connect it to three-dimensional aspects. And it was widely received, and you know, it kind of claimed public acclimates from quite a few folks. Sometimes I tell the story how a local friend of mine says every time she drives into town and comes down Lakeshore and approaches the downtown arena, she just sees the back and it makes her chuckle. She just appreciates it for what it is and how it delivers a message. The next one was the president, CEO of the credit union. And I went to see him one afternoon after they were in the throes of a complete renovation of the downtown office, branch office. And they had taken down the corner clock that was right on in front of the parking lot there. And they were then reassembling the grounds and the parking arena, putting in the landscaping. And I went to see him and said, I really think it would be a great idea if you didn't put up the clock. And he looked at me and said, well, why? I mean, we have to put that up there and put our sign. Which I explained to him that he was a membership organization and that people weren't looking for him. They all knew where the bank or the savings and credit union was because they joined it. So, and he's not trying to speak to anyone outside his membership to come there. So he said, oh, okay. And then about a month later, he called me and said, okay, Warren, you got the job. And I didn't know what he meant by that. And so I went to see him and he said, okay, come up with something that you think we should put there. So here I thought, okay, I'll introduce the concept of public art. Although it really wasn't a public art assignment. My commission was very tightly held to the approval of the board of directors. So I really was executing a commercial art project that was installed on their grounds, as opposed to what I refer to what I call a real artist. A real artist does something and his creation is then put somewhere. I had very strong objectives delivered to me and it had to be solved in a way that delivered a message. And the message was that it was started by 7 local farmers. It had a board of directors. Or no, it was 14 farmers and had a board of directors of 7. So there's all those elements are incorporated into it. And we went ahead and it was approved. But the best part of the story is at the inauguration ribbon cutting for the renovation and also the sculpture on the corner, there was people who were leaving. The mayor had cut the ribbon and I walked over to the corner sculpture area and there was one of the local mature members and he was kind of staring at it. He had his arms folded behind him, and he was staring up at the sculpture because it goes 17 feet in the air and there's bright red apples at the top. So I went over to him and kind of thought about what I'd say, and I said, "Oh, hi. So what do you think?" I wasn't prepared for the answer. The answer was, he looked at me, there was a long pause, and he said, "It speaks to me." And I thought, that's the whole reason I did it. I didn't think he was going to say that to me. And then he went on to tell me my story of how I did it for the credit union board. He said, "This used to be an apple orchard. There used to be the trees here. And yes, he used to sit and ride a tractor exactly like the seats that were installed at the lower portion. And they were seats for the public to sit on and have lunch breaks." And he said, "Yeah, I used to ride a tractor with a seat like that. Not like the ones they have today with air-conditioned cabs and leather seats." And it was just very rewarding and warming to have been able to receive that sort of message like that.
I think you're quite well known for the apples on the corner. A lot of people recognize that, and that is an identifying feature of Salmon Arm. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit of what I want to talk about today, is how public art like that helps create our identity. Because when you look at our postcards, for instance, a Salmon Arm postcard, we have a lake and mountains and sky and trees and sometimes a wharf. But you have to wonder how many other communities look like that. How many are on lakes and have mountains in the background and have trees? Probably a lot, but I'll bet not very many have tractor seats and then 17-foot high apples.
It's somewhat what I was trying to engage. I did talk to an ex-mayor, Colin Mays. He was in office during the centennial, and we collaborated quite a bit, he and the city administrator at the time, Doug LaGore. I had expressed some of my visions for what Salmon Arm could display to the traveling public, and seeing that the credit union's location is off highway, it doesn't have the highway exposure or interstate exposure, as I would call it. And I think most people here in town know that I'm an American, so I'll use the American versions of certain terms. So the interstate, as we call it, has exits, and there are no exits off the interstate here in Salmon Arm. It's a left turn or a right turn, which I find kind of unsettling because they should be exits. But I had mentioned to the mayor at the time, and I still hold on to this, is that there's an opportunity to have what I call maybe perhaps roadside attractions throughout Canada and throughout the United States also. Those are the large nickel, the bumblebee, the duck, the fish, the crab, the oyster, and those are the things that deliver that high impactful message of, hey, stop here, take a picture, which means have lunch, buy a few trinkets, wander around town, collect a few brochures, and get connected to the place you are driving through instead of just treating it as an inconvenience. Right now, I think Salmon Arm has 7 stoplights of inconvenience if you're on what I call the interstate, and interstates don't have stoplights. I was always trying to marriage having those kinds of roadside attractions perhaps with what would be a public art. I haven't quite figured that out because I haven't been commissioned, so to speak, to come up with one. And there are other artists here in town who I'd hope perhaps would be approached.
I think that's another conversation. Mm-hmm. The responsibility of public art, of funding public art, where does it fall? And from the Art Center's perspective, we feel like that's definitely a municipal and provincial responsibility. But with times being what they are and taxes not wanting to be, increasing, they're very reluctant to set aside money for that. So given that we know, because these are numbers that are measured, that we know public art adds to a community's industry. It adds to the economic industry, is what I'm saying. The creative cities attract more young people, attract more families, which then adds to the vibrancy of the town's economy. So knowing that, you'd think that there'd be a willingness of municipalities and provincial governments to invest and have a certain percentage, say, of developments that always go towards public art. We haven't seen that yet in Salmon Arm. So we're looking at whose responsibility is it to make these things happen? It's got to be a collaboration, right?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of the invisible financial return. It's hard to realize what it is, but as the acknowledgements increase and the in what I call the emotional engagement and then the story that gets told. So it may take a few return visits or perhaps a few years to happen, but the stories that get told become the valuable asset of a work of art that's publicly displayed or out there for viewing. A person sees it, has a story to be told, and then goes on to tell the person where they returned from. So they're going back to Saskatchewan. They remember seeing something unique and different and wonderful in Salmon Arm. They tell the story and they say, oh, by the way, as you're driving through, you're going to have to slow down because the speed limit drops to 50 kilometers. You might as well make that your lunch break and visit the floating apples out on the bay there. That was another initiative I presented to CSRD and to the city and to the chamber, and they both, all three, more or less, nodded their heads, great idea, we don't have the money.
Yeah.
Or funding they used. They said, we don't have the funding for that. And I thought, well, you really need to make that investment. It's not so much funding, it's a sincere, targeted investment that you need to seek.
One of the other points that I continue to bring up when I'm in conversation about public art is how it creates community. And it's a vague term, but when you have public art, you create community gathering spaces. When you have spaces for people to gather, people get to know each other. Strangers will talk to each other. Children will talk to seniors. People ask questions. It's a community building exercise. So when you're talking about investment, we're not talking just about economy. We're talking about overall feeling of a place, a place where you belong.
Yes. Creating a sense of place is something that's very close to me and something I tried to get engaged in when the Ross T. Plaza, that whole parking lot was supposed to have been a downtown plaza. The funds over time got diminished through investigative studies of what to do and how to do it. And when it came down to it, there was no money left to do it, which I'm not pointing a finger at all because these things happen. So in the end, it was a one quarter of the size it's supposed to have been. And it's still very much a gathering pace. And I see things happening there. And I see a potential there for an exciting, vibrant addition to the area.
As a matter of fact, we're working on a project right now to create a mosaic tile mural on the back of the Ross Street Plaza stage. Now, that's another thing. Funding is tricky because we can set aside a certain amount per year. But when you apply for grants for things like public art, one-time projects, you have to show that there's a level of interest and investment from all different levels. So if you don't get municipal investment, if they're not willing to cough up at least a little bit of money, then you don't qualify for provincial funding. You don't qualify for provincial funding, you don't get half your money. Often these are one-time grants that are for opportunities that, say, will deadline in 4 months. So you're pulling stuff together very quickly. Some of the requirements are that you have investment from your private sector. That's just not enough time to pull things like that together. So we have to have private business. And in Salmon Arm, of course, we know that a lot of private businesses are hit up constantly for donations. So it's really tough for us to go with our hand out again. So we've got private business that needs to partner with municipality, which needs to partner with provincial government, which needs to be combined and added to our own little savings account, which we're not really allowed to have, but we're trying so hard to put little bits of money away for things like this. And still, if one piece of that puzzle isn't in there, the whole thing falls apart. So we're having a little trouble getting that project accomplished, but we're definitely working on it. And it's quite exciting. It'll be, this sounds a bit boring, but it won't be. It's going to be a landscape. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very large scale landscape that has a lot of identifying features of Salmon Arm within the landscape. And there's going to be a calendario element, which is the circular calendar that shows the different signs of the seasons. That'll be part of the whole tile mural. And that ties in with a project that Runaway Moon Theater and Kathy Stubington are doing in the whole North Okanagan region. So it's quite exciting because it's actually all natural knowledge, farming, agriculture, all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's going to tie in agriculture with culture and with the local naturalists and lake ecology and things like that. There's another reason why public art is really important is because it creates partnerships that may not have existed before.
Very much so. Very much so. The partnerships are the lifeblood of things. As you've said, it's one organization waits for another organization to pony up some money to realize that it becomes an entity. In order to start off, it's the old, you can't get a job unless you have experience, and you can't get experience unless you have a job. It's that endless catch-22.
Right.
Which perseverance is about the only thing that truly gets you through this process.
Yeah. And starting small. That's another thing that I've learned in my time.
Yeah.
Is that sometimes you can do very small things and they make big impact because they lead to a larger thing. And yeah. That's one of the things we're doing at the Art Center. Right in front of the gallery, we've just created a little cement pad that has a little metal X implanted in the cement. And the reason that's there is so that we can have temporary public art.
Oh, okay. So it'll be installation. It'll all be manufactured, or there'll be a base and it'll be removable.
That's right.
Oh, good.
Okay. So our first artist that's going to be featured there is Louis-Marc Simard. Mm-hmm. He's going to install a sculpture this fall. It's going to stay up for a couple months. And then when the snow clearing season comes, we'll be able to remove it. And then next spring, we'll have something else there.
And the funding for this?
The funding for this came out of the operating funding that was given from the city to the Arts Council.
Okay.
It was actually a small amount of money.
Well, that's what you just said, start small.
That's right. And it's tiny. And so we thought, you know what? Well, this is our public art investment for this year. We can't do the mosaic project this year, so we'll do this. And we're not purchasing the temporary sculptures. They are on loan from the artist.
Excellent.
And so that's a way to kind of make this happen and still create some visual interest in the area without having to ask 18 different organizations for money to do it.
What you're doing then is putting out a call for artists to submit on loan their outdoor sculptures.
That's right.
So you've only invested the cost of maintenance to create the spot and put it in place and take it out of place.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is very reasonable, I suspect.
It is pretty reasonable, especially when you know a guy that can just do that sort of thing.
We won't mention names. No, that's great. Okay. So that's the small start.
It
sounds to me that could easily be an initiative for the city. If I see them going around moving the flower pots, why can't they begin to install these location installation spots for sculptures? I mean, what are they incurring? Basically nothing cost, because instead of doing a flower pot, they put a sculpture mount.
That's very straightforward. We'll be having an unveiling mm-hmm. when it happens. But really, it's something that we're kind of doing a little bit under the radar because we do have to do it on such a tight budget.
Mm-hmm.
We're all just taking time away from the regular operations that we have to do. So our resources are limited, but we just are very passionate about this idea and want to see it happen. So when it happens, we'll make a big deal out of it, and we'll notify council and anyone else who's interested.
You've delivered the two words. You've done it on a tight budget, which that's all you hear at City Hall. And if they understand that this has been done on a tight budget, why can't they pick it up and run with it?
Well, and add to it.
Yes.
Because it doesn't matter who pays for this particular little project. We're happy to, because we are passionate about it. And it's our space, right? We're leasing mm-hmm. that space from the city. We want it to be interesting and creative and attract people to gather there. So we're willing to invest that. Now, how about the city becomes willing to invest in other interesting spaces around Salmon Arm in doing the same thing, temporary public art in those spaces?
Or even owners of land that extends out onto the sidewalk. I mean, so it could be owned by public businesses.
Yes.
Landowners.
Absolutely.
Or commercial property owners in downtown area that have their assessed or their areas in public thoroughfares.
Yeah.
That's very exciting.
It is. And in other cities, they do this. In fact, I think Calgary has a policy. 1% of all development costs are supposed to go towards public art. So private organizations, private businesses, when they build a development, they have to build public art as part of that development. That's part of their permit.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Wow. That's very exciting.
It is exciting. Public art is a visual way of communicating. Imagine visitors coming to Salmon Arm, seeing something to do with our train history in the downtown and looking at it and saying, well, I guess they must have had a big train industry of some kind, or salmon things. Oh, there must have been a big salmon run here at one time. And there isn't now. So that is part of our history. And that is a way to communicate our collective memory to people who are visiting, and also to future generations who may have grown up here and just don't know about that history.
Yes. Oh, I remember I arrived here by train in 1981 for the first time. Arrived here with my full family, my wife and three daughters. And it was lovely. We came up through Seattle and then had a bus from Seattle to Vancouver, and then Vancouver to Salmon Arm as the overnight train. And we departed right downtown at the, now it is more or less a storage yard, I guess, or a storage building. And it doesn't have that passenger railroad anymore. which I think would have been an excellent opportunity to make an historical connection, is to revitalize that building and make it open to the public. And then they could see how at one point it was commuter rail traffic here to downtown Salmon Arm. Now it's become more commercial. And there are times where I've nicknamed it and called it Salmon Arm. The train runs through it. Doesn't stop, just runs through it.
That's interesting that you remember that and that your first experience here was that you got off the train at that station. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful building.
Oh, yes. And that is an historical landmark that could perhaps fill out what you were talking about, is the historical connection. Earlier, I talked about the sculpture at the credit union. And originally it started, there was what they called the Safe House, which was a Salmon Arm Farmers Exchange. And it was a collective, and it was a way for farmers to bring their orchard goods into the downtown area and have collective bargaining. And there's that historical element. And there's many, many pictures done by Rex Lingford from that era. I think it was in the early 1900s, recording it. And there's just a wealth of that historical information that could be turned into public art in a way, either through sculptural means or graphics or mosaics. I mean, there's an endless possibility. We just have to engage the creative society or the creative people here in town to engage themselves and come up with perspectives and solutions and presentations.
So that kind of goes back to what we were talking about starting small.
Yes.
And one of the ways that you can start small is by activating the in-between spaces. And I see potential for that all over downtown. So places that you might pass by frequently but are not engaged in any way to stay there or to even notice your surroundings while you're there. Maybe it's not storefront. There's no cafe there. There's no windows to look in. It's just blank space. And sometimes it's space between buildings. Sometimes it's roadways or a little triangle between a right turn lane and the rest of the intersection. There's lots of in-between spaces that can be activated and made interesting. When you do those spaces, you're creating tiny little bits of communication, of a way of showing people, oh, this is where you are. Here's something to think about. Here's something to consider. But they're all small projects. You never have to do anything gigantic. No $100,000 project in that little walking tunnel in the downtown. You wouldn't have to spend a lot of money to activate that space.
No. And I fully agree in these. And these could be connected to what I mentioned earlier about what I call the visual voice. It's something that I've been working on, and it's what speaks to you. It's what earlier when I told you about the octogenarian at the inauguration presentation of the sculpture at the credit union, and that is, you see something, and then there's a voice in your head, and it says, it talks to you, and it could either be a yell or a voice or a whisper. And whispers are kind of always interesting. And that's when you fill these in-between spaces, those become whispers because they're not out in the open anywhere. They're just kind of cut into these little nooks and crannies of a downtown arena. You'll see people walking, and all of a sudden they'll come to a stop and they'll look at something. And these are these opportunities that we have to have a presentation, and then that ends up becoming a topic of discussion at home. The emotional engagement that does capture the essence of people, and then all of a sudden, Salmon Arm becomes that town that has all these unique, interesting things tucked away in between doorways and alleyways and hanging off rooftops, whatever.
Which adds to our authenticity as a community. There's been a lot of discussion about tourism in that regard. When you are a community who is trying to build on your tourism industry, you are encouraged to be authentic to your community. And a really good example is a community that is a seaside community has built what do you call those pillars that you tie boats to with the rope around them?
Well, they're piers. What they call those.
Okay, well, they've built sidewalks and areas to look like piers. And there's rope designs in all kinds of things. And what you have to look at that as, well, do you tie your boat up to the sidewalk? I mean, is that authentic to the space? One of the interesting comments that was made, it was at an ArtsBC conference I was at last spring. Look at your community the way a movie scout might look at your community when they're looking for a location. Mm-hmm. And if they're looking at pier posts that you can't tie your boat up to, would they think of that as an authentic seaside community? When we look at Salmon Arm, what would we want to see here that would feel authentically Salmon Arm? And so one of the things that help us do that is to look at our history. So that's why I'm kind of, that's my big circle coming around to this, keeping our authenticity, making people feel like this is Salmon Arm. We're not trying to be somebody else or someplace else. We're just being Salmon Arm.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting subject you just brought up, because the fall fair, which happens once a year, has on display all the things that are historically connected to Salmon Arm, which would be excellent to bring out and have on display year round instead of coming out for the 2 days of the fair and then they go back into the owner's barn, never to be seen again for another year. And only really the residents see them who know all about Salmon Arm, as opposed to the travelers, the tourists, the people who we rely on all through the summer months. So we need to find a way to embrace that and incorporate it into the daily life of Salmon Arm, or show it off.
Honoring our agricultural history.
Oh, very much so. Yes, exactly.
This has been a very interesting conversation, Warren.
Well, I appreciate you having me here, and I certainly hope that anyone listening will consider coming visit us down here at the station and taking the radio skills course. We are definitely looking for more engagement.
And that's all for Artscape this week. Tune in next time for another cultural infusion of your local arts events.